Welcome to the special edition of the Accelerating Operational Performance podcast. Again, it's me, Greg Schenkel, your host, president of Unique Training and Development and Frontline Leadership Systems. And remember, our special edition podcasts are just for me to share some things that are top of mind that I think would be particularly helpful for you as a leader or for your leadership team. And today, my topic is dealing with variation in operating performance. So I've got my trusty iPad here. So if you're listening to the audio version of this through your podcasting app, just remember you can always check out the video on our YouTube page at unique.leadership. We're also going to be posting some of these videos up on LinkedIn, so you can search me out as Greg Schenkel and see it there on the LinkedIn feed or on our LinkedIn page for Unique Training and Development. So today's topic is really dealing with variation in operating performance. This is something I've been thinking about for a long time for two reasons. Number one is that I've been, I don't know about you, but I've visited multiple locations of the same chain, let's say for a restaurant. I'm thinking about one specifically, but I will not name names. And I remember going to this one location, and I tried it several times, and every time I went in, it was messy, the staff was rude, service was slow, the attitude wasn't great. And yet, just across town was another location of the same restaurant chain. There, everything was clean, organized, the staff were friendly, the service was quicker. And so this is under the same franchise. So they're operating under the same system. Why is it that one operating unit outperforms and does so well and another does so poorly? And you know that we're in the leadership training and development business. So you know one thing I want to isolate is the quality of the leader. The second reason that I wanted to talk about this today is that we had, I did a visit to a client. Now, another subsidiary that they had purchased had used our training programs and had great results. But I got to meet with the executive team in Atlanta, Georgia. And what they challenged me with is they said, okay, well, what difference does leadership really make? How do you measure the impact of your leadership training programs? I go, you know what? That's a really great question. Let me ask you a question. You've got hundreds of operating units in a very diversified space. And how do you think? Like, do you think the quality of the operating general manager or location manager has any impact on results? And they said, yes. I said, so I feel the same way. So what we're really trying to figure out is what is the relationship of leadership to variation in operating performance between levels. So first of all, let's define what it is that we're looking for here or looking at. And really what we're focused on is in variation in operating performance, we're of course talking about where there's multiple operating units. Now, technically, you know, I've been mostly thinking about different locations in the same company, but you could argue the same thing could be different departments or even different shifts within a production facility. And it's just that there is this difference and there's a way of comparing the results. The range of results. So if you compared your lowest performing unit to your highest performing unit, what does that look like in terms of dollars and cents and KPIs, key performance indicators, and metrics? Is there a large variation or gap, right, between the high and the low, right? Or is it relatively tight? If it's relatively tight, you really don't have to listen to this episode if you don't want to. But if you've got more variation in there than you'd like, then I'm going to share with you some ideas to make that variation smaller and get more consistently great results. And then the other thing that we're going to do is we're really going to focus on isolating the leadership impact as it relates to variation and performance. Now, I've created a model that I'm going to share with you here, and the model, I'm calling it the operational performance variation model. And it's just my way of framing some of these things. So first of all, for if you're listening, it's a classic 2x2 matrix. And on the left side, we're going to put operating performance variation. That is, how much variation is there in operating performance between the business units? Now, to make it work, I've put high variation at the bottom, because that's bad, and low variation at the top. Which is good, right? Lower variation means more consistency. Now, on the horizontal axis, I've got leadership effectiveness. And again, we've got low on the left and high on the right. So the, if you're following along with me, which is difficult if you're just listening to the audio, in the lower left quadrant of this matrix, that is where there's low leadership effectiveness and a high degree of operating performance variation. Really, what I'm going to label that as is luck. Which, of course, in business, it's tough to just say, you know, that's what we're going for, is just good luck. And all luck would say is if you're getting results with a high degree of, well, you're not getting great results if you have a high degree of variation, but if you have low leadership effectiveness, it's sort of like the expression that says even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. And that could be what's happening in your organization, is despite, you know, high degrees of operating variance and low effectiveness in leadership, some people are still managing to run good operations. Now, remember, luck also means that sometimes it's just based on your location. Maybe you are strategically the only option in the area. And so even though it's a poorly run operation, it still makes money. Still, if you're visiting that operation, you know that there's still room for improvement. But of course, they're making money because they're lucky, right? And of course, what would disrupt that would be a competitor moving in, recognizing that maybe your service stinks or that your operation isn't well run, and they could come in and take that business away from you. So we don't want to rely on luck. Okay. Now, still sticking in the lower part of our matrix in the bottom right corner. So we have high leadership effectiveness, but we still have a high degree of operating variance. And so really, that's going to be, again, a little version of luck. It's really on the operating condition. And there's going to be several variables here, right, that are going to influence your performance in that business unit. So again, because you've got a strong leader, but your strong leaders are still not performing consistently when you compare them across operations, what that tells you is there's something else going on. So in a production facility, that might be explained by saying that one department is running one product SKU and running it for a long time, so they don't have as much setup time or downtime or changeover time. Or maybe the business conditions are that the product mix in one of your facilities is more favorable and simpler to produce, and in another operation, it's more complex. And so the operating conditions are really driving whether the results are good or bad, even with an effective leader. So I guess technically it's a little bit better in that your leader is having some influence over operations, but still a lot of it has to do with factors beyond the leader's control. Now, if we go to the top left corner in the matrix, this is where there's a low amount of variation, so you could say a high degree of consistency between operations, and a low degree of leadership effectiveness. What we've got here, I'm going to label this quadrant improvement. And I'm also going to call it challenge, right? So we have consistent, some consistent performance. The leadership capabilities are relatively low. So it's also it's another spin on the word luck, I guess, because what we're getting here is the fact that we're consistently not great. and the leaders are still not as effective as they could be at driving performance. So there's lots of opportunities. And you as a more senior level leader are going to look around and go, gosh, we have so many opportunities, so much low-hanging fruit. But the leaders aren't competent enough even to discover what they could do to really improve the operating performance. So we've got still a lot, don't have a lot of variability. The operations are generally not doing as well as they could do. And they all share a similar amount of potential to get better. Now, the part of the matrix that you really want to focus on is the top right. That's where you would have low amounts of variance in your operating units, which means a high degree of consistency, and you'd have a high degree of leadership effectiveness. And of course, we might just label that, I'm just going to call it OpEx or operational excellence, right? And that means that your leaders are very good. Your systems are excellent. Your way of managing people resources and how they interact with those systems is great. And so you've got operational excellence. This is what we're trying to achieve. Now, remember, many companies have operational excellence, but they label that as lean, continuous improvement, Kaizen. And those are great tools, but when they're combined with great leadership, it is true operational excellence. So before that, it's really a set of low-hanging fruit that the tools and the company is more tools-oriented than they are building it into their culture. Okay. Now, there is this little corner in the top right of that right top right quadrant, and I'm going to call that world-class. All right, world-class. What that means is that the best of the best, when you have exceptionally talented leaders running great operating systems, you have a world-class operation. That's when your profitability is going to be maximized. That's when your culture is going to rock and roll. Your organization is very attractive to talented people. There's really not much danger of losing people. And because your margins are great and your operating performance is great, you can reward your people appropriately, and you've really got a world-class operation. So if you've got that, you probably can stop here, pat yourself on the back, and, you know, go and have a great day. But let's dig into it a little bit more, assuming that you want to reduce the amount of operating variance between different business units. So I want to share with you this model called decision-making waste. And it's just basically so that you understand what some of the problems baked into decreasing that operational variance is because of your leadership team. And it's not because you're bad or anything. It's just that you have your executive team at the top. You've got your managers. You've got your supervisors. And again, some of these might be called, you know, store managers or location managers. And then you might even have some team leads. And then you've got your frontline employees. All the decision-making waste, first of all, you might say decision-making waste. What the heck does that mean? It means that you're incurring waste because higher value resources, and I just mean higher value because they're higher priced and there's fewer of them, are getting dragged into solving problems that really the operating location leaders closest to the work should be taking care of. In fact, you could argue that the folks at the front line should really be running the business well and consistently well. The people in the middle are really supposed to focus on improving the business and across all operating units. And the folks at the top are really focused on growing. So every time I have a senior level leader who's embroiled in solving operational details that should have been fixed at the lowest level, you're going to see a couple of things happen. First of all, there's a distraction in terms of money and time. And so everyone's being distracted on short-term, small-dollar opportunities instead of longer-term or medium-term and bigger opportunities for the company. This causes a lot of variation in operating performance by itself because I've got relatively few senior resources that are having to intervene far too often to solve problems that the operating leader should be solving. Right? So anyway, there's an opportunity to reduce that kind of waste, and it's often invisible in operations. The only thing you could tell if you're in one of those senior roles is how much of your time is spent dealing with things that are relatively short-term in nature and relatively small dollars. And sometimes leaders will push back on me when I discuss this because they'll say, Greg, I'm just leading by example. I'm willing to get my hands dirty. And I say, great, that's good. If you need to do a deep dive every once in a while, that's helpful. Your team will appreciate it. If you're constantly doing it, it should raise at least a concern, a question mark in your mind, like, why am I getting involved in all this? Is that the real way I'm maximizing my value to the organization? So one other model to talk to you about, and that would be this idea of the improvement impact iceberg. And all we're saying is an iceberg, and like many iceberg models, way more is below the surface than on top of the surface. Now, remember, most operating leaders, they focus their attention on tons of initiatives that they throw at the top of the iceberg. This includes even some of the training that we offer, right? We're going to do some training. It can't hurt. We're going to do consulting. We're going to work on systems. We're going to write some great SOPs, which isn't a bad thing. We're going to put a new ERP or enterprise resource planning system in, right? We're going to put some capital equipment, some technology in there. And then the reality is, though, only 10% of the impact on the operation is really achieved above the surface. So you're throwing all these initiatives at the operation, and yet you're still seeing a high degree of variation in the operating unit performance. That tells you it might not be the fact that you haven't got the latest shiny system or flavor of the month training program going on, right? There's something deeper. Now, if you go below the surface, the kinds of impacts you're trying to have on your operation is really three things. You're trying to achieve engagement, right, as an outcome. That's really dealing with the people. The people love working there. They're talented. They're skilled. They have the problem-solving capabilities to take care of 80% of the problems, right? They're actually process experts in taking care of the business and taking care of the customer. You've got efficiency as an outcome. Now, your efficiency is really dealing with process. You've got world-class processes. Your SOPs are amazing. Your systems are great. They actually support the business unit leaders in making their business run better. Now, I will say that a lot of organizations focus a lot of their time and attention on tech, systems, and process. And they wonder, why is there still this variation in operating performance? So the last outcome that we're looking for, which is probably the reason why you're in business to begin with, is economics. And that is profit. So what I want you to be thinking about is, up till now, you've probably just accepted the fact that there's going to be business units that do better and business units that do worse, and that there's probably not much we can do. Just some have more favorable business conditions and some have worse business conditions. And, you know, we got the same SOPs, so, you know, we'll just put up with it. And I'm thinking, wow, you're admitting defeat way too early. What you want to do is, if you want consistently above average profits, above average profit margins, knowing that your money is being well spent, you really want to have that profit outcome achieved, and not just achieved to the bare minimum, but achieved to its maximum potential. But really, what we want is even deeper. There's another layer to this iceberg. And what we really want to do down here is we want to win, right? We want a winning-driven team across the board. We want to win. We want to win the customer. We want to win against our competitors. We want to win against our potential. We want this winning-driven operation, all right? So knowing that that's the case, and knowing that I can't keep you here all day listening to this episode, I've got a couple of ideas for you. So in order to reduce the variance between operating units, by all means, you can start with a systems audit first. Make sure that your ducks are in a row in terms of your SOPs, the support system, audits, and checklists. It is important to do those three things. The area that we can probably most help you in is leadership effectiveness. Now, we've got a new program that we're developing, and we're working on it with a few clients. And I'll write the initials here so that you have it. We're calling it the OPAL program, which basically stands for Operating Performance and Leadership. You see, a lot of operations basically have their OPEX initiatives like continuous improvement and Kaizen and Lean, and then they have some soft skills programs that they run over here to the side. And, you know, being in the soft skills training business primarily makes me think, you know, they're not a bad thing to invest in, but what's missing is this connection between operational excellence and leadership. So really, this OPAL program is designed to make the interactions between your leaders and their team members highly effective around the crucial interactions that drive operating performance. The last thing I put on the list here is really just this idea of active management. And by active management, what I'm trying to get you to do is to defeat the decision-making waste that occurs in your operation. If your operating leaders can't run the business effectively, and mostly independently from their boss, the regional manager, the district VP, there's room for improvement there. And so what I'm suggesting to you is that you give your people the best tools that you can to make the best decisions, at least in 80% of the most common. You're familiar with the 80-20 rule, right? Which is 80% of the activity really revolves around 20% of the problems, or 80% of the value is caused by 20% of the activity. But you also want to make sure that your team is capable of solving basically 80% of the problems that they might run into and making those decisions effectively. This is where we come in. You can reach out to us at our website at uniquedevelopment.com, connect with me on LinkedIn. What we should do is have a conversation about how to bring this operating, this variation in operating performance under control so that all your leaders are capable, along with world-class systems, at driving the best potential results. If that sounds interesting to you, please reach out to me through the website or on LinkedIn. Let's have a conversation. Let's see how we can help your organization become a winning-driven operation.